Jonathan Coulton.
Oh, hello, Afira.
Hello. How you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. So it's the same as last week. Nothing has changed. It's all
you
the
look
same.
Good. You look showered.
No, I don't. It's kind of you to say that, but I know it's not true. It's absolutely not true. I haven't showered in about 15 days.
Well, it must be that enhanced look function on Zoom.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just I'm airbrushed.
I don't know if you have other Zoom calls to get to, but I was wondering, would you like to do a show?
I'm pretty busy doing a lot of other things, but okay. Yeah, okay. No, let's do a show.
Let's do a show.
Hang on, let me, I gotta put my on-air sign on my door.
Ha-ha.
Stand by.
That's hilarious. You've created an on-air sign?
I had to.
Aw. I like that you didn't choose, you know, busy or don't enter.
On air.
Just on air. Very, very professional.
This is radio, man.
It's very professional.
Okay. From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from inside our respective homes in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Eating Old Beans, Ask Me Another, Play From Home edition. I'm Jonathan Coulton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Beans. Oh, so many beans. Remember when we thought we were all just going to eat beans? That was going to be how we got through this? Do you know what's not really appreciated right now? A five-bean salad.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Why use all five beans? Like, just cook one bean and eat that.
It's too many beans.
Out of the pot, over the sink. That's what I do.
So you've been inside, obviously, with your family for yet another week. How's it going?
It's fine. It's funny to watch this evolve from us all being in the house together and participating as a family together. It's sort of like this focused family time and like playing games and then as time progresses, we're like, no, we still need alone time, and we sort of have all silently figured out how to navigate that.
Yeah. You know what? Last week, Jonathan and I were arguing a bit and we were stressed and things felt more tense. This week, we're much better. We're hitting a stride, but I have I still, you know, get frustrated and need somewhere to go, and I can't go anywhere. So I'm practicing inner screaming, where you just close your eyes and you scream inside.
is this your own plan for mental health, or did you pick this up somewhere? Because it doesn't sound like it would be that helpful.
I haven't read about it anywhere. You think it's unhelpful? You would be surprised.
Just a silent inner scream.
Yeah, just close your eyes for a second and scream inside.
Yeah, and just let loose all that anxiety and anger into your own body.
Exactly.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then your body will absorb it.
Body absorbs it. You open your mouth and just a short breath, relaxed breath comes out. And that's how it's been changed on a molecular level.
Yeah, and it sounds, when that short breath comes out, it sounds like this. Fine.
Okay. No, it's good.
That's my go-to. My wife has recently pointed out that is how I say no. She says, do you want to do this thing? And I say, we could do that.
That's some passive stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm a crazy person. I'm awful to live with.
You know what? Why don't we spend time with other couples? Why don't we call up our friends in relationships and see how they're doing?
Do you know what? I'm pretty sick of my own relationship. Let's drop in on some other relationships.
Yeah, and then we'll give them a game to play, and that will give them something else to think about.
To think about.
And guess what? We have a guest. We were supposed to have her at the Bell House in Brooklyn, but she is here with us today. The Emmy Award-winning star of Will and Grace, Deborah Messing, is going to join us.
Fantastic.
All right, let's call up some friends, play some games, and have a good time. Thankfully, this couple is available, and they're not only a couple, they host a podcast called Couples Therapy, where they talk about relationships with comedians themselves. It's both life-affirming and funny, which is a nice combination. Not like my therapy. We have Andy Beckerman and Naomi Ekperigin. Hey.
Hi.
Hi. So you're obviously in your house.
Yes, yes.
Self-quarantine, day 18.
Day 18. Ooh. You're in Los Angeles.
Yes, we are.
Which is already a city of self-quarantine.
It works out really well.
I was telling these guys that I had a stranger talk to me from 6 feet away, and it was just something nice. They were like, oh, look over by that tree. There's an eagle's nest. And I was like, oh, this is so heartwarming. A conversation with a stranger. You know, this is like, I'm missing this. And then he was like, isn't it amazing how Mother Nature continually rejuvenates the earth and provides? And I was like, not this guy. We just don't get along normally, so it's not going to start now.
Did he have like a stack of Nietzsche books with him?
Yeah, that he was tossing out 6 feet in every
to
direction.
To anyone who would take them. Isn't it so funny, the little conversations you're having now, being bored? Because I'm really, I'll tell Andy any thought in my head.
Oh, yeah, so you're right, couple in captivity. How's it going?
It could be worse. Like, it's actually not bad. We've had, in 18 days, two arguments. I think that's about it.
Yeah, we had two arguments. It was, like, real uncomfortable, though, because we got in an argument, and then I just, like, went in the bedroom. You know what I mean? Like, I just, like, sat there and was like, well, I guess this is where I go to cool out, where I think normally I would have left the house or I would have, like, gone and, like, met a friend. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm going to get a drink and then cool out. And then this time it was like, I'll just sit in the bedroom till you forgive me, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to the other side of the couch for a while.
Exactly.
Right.
I like actually hanging out with people via Zoom now because you can, like, I'm at home, we're talking, but I could just get up and go get something from my fridge. I love that. We should all be at home but hanging out with people, but they're not in our house.
Yeah. Don't have to clean up after they leave. Don't have to get there. Yeah, everything's acceptable. That's right. The only problem I have is you can't leave.
Yeah.
It's weird to leave.
You know what you can do, though? You can always just fake an internet outage. It's very easy. You just just leave the meeting, and then you text somebody, and you're like, oh, sorry, my internet went out.
Do you guys want to play a game? Do you want to just do a little escapist quiz?
I would love to. We need competition. We need a healthy competition right now.
Okay. So your podcast is called Couples Therapy. We have a audio quiz for you called Teletherapy.
Uh-huh.
So basically, we're going to play a clip of a TV therapist, and you're just going to identify the show.
Uh-oh. Okay.
All right.
Ready.
Ooh, all right. Ooh. Okay, let's start with an easy one. This is for you, Andy.
Hello, Claire. I'm listening.
Oh, Frasier.
Frasier, that's right. Frasier-crade. Were you a fan of that show? Did you ever watch that show? And it's
I watched it for many years.
Yeah.
And then Niles and Daphne got together.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's ruined.
Okay, I will say, actually, one of our fights, you guys, was I told Andy he's a Niles. And then he said,
not wrong.
He said, I was Eddie the dog.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, it was a cute dog. It was a cute dog who did a lot of tricks.
No, okay? Because if I am anyone, I am Marty Crane, okay? I'm sitting in my chair, and I am saying, don't bother me. Yeah. And so...
And he was a police detective, and that's what you want to be.
That's true. Oh, I love my
procedural.
That's
right. I wanted to be the woman that he did the radio show with. Roz?
Roz.
Oh, my God. You're such a Roz.
Thanks. Thank you.
I feel like we're a BuzzFeed quiz now.
All right.
Now is your chance, Naomi. Here we go. This is for you. The comic who plays the therapist in this clip won a Best Guest Actress Emmy for the role.
I committed adultery. I betrayed a friend. I'm an awful person.
Allie, every patient that comes into this office thinks that he or she is the world's biggest loser. For the first time, I agree.
What?
There's a hint in the clue. The name.
I know. Allie. Oh. Oh, God, I don't know.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah.
Dancing Baby.
Oh. Oh. Fudge. Okay, Allie
show.
McBeal.
Allie McBeal is correct.
But what I remember loving, do you know Allie McBeal took a black lover? You know she was with Jesse L. Martin, who played Collins in the original cast of Rent, who went on to become such a star.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, look at that little bony Callista with a black lover. I was like very into it.
All right, Andy. This Comedy Central show was animated in squiggle vision.
What is it that prompted you to come to therapy?
I had a lot of things on my mind. I'm going through a divorce.
It must be very painful.
Actually, it's very liberating.
That was my next guess.
Yeah.
Of course, Dr. Katz. And can I get extra points if I can identify that was Wanda Sykes?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Extra points. I mean, there are no points at all anymore in our...
What's the point?
But yes, correct and correct.
All right, Naomi, this is the last clip, and it's for you. This is from a long-running HBO show.
What line of work are you in?
Waste management consultant.
Oh, Sopranos.
Yeah.
Sopranos, that's correct.
Yeah! I want to tell you the truth. Never seen it.
Whoa! You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Jonathan.
Neither one of you or Andy, have you seen it?
I've seen it, yes. But I saw it back in the day when the only shows on TV were white male antiheroes.
Yeah, right, of course.
All right. Well, guess what? You guys are tied. Well, you know, we are keeping light track of everything and you're tied. I know. It's a perfect match. Or perfect match or a perfect fight. I don't know which way you want to go. But we have another game. We have
boost each other up, so it's the perfect match.
Thank you so much.
Coming up after the break, we'll play another game with Naomi Ekperigin and Andy Beckerman, and we'll call up another pair of couple testants, Janie Hadad Tompkins and Paul F. Tompkins. And later in the show, we'll talk with star of stage and screen, Deborah Messing. Because let's be honest, we could all use a little bit of will and grace right now. Oh, I could. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor HarperCollins, publisher of The Faceless Old Woman Who Secretly Lives in Your Home, a new novel from Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner, creators of the Night Vale podcast and authors of Welcome to Night Vale and It Devours. In Night Vale, there is a faceless old woman who secretly lives in everyone's home, but no one knows how she got there or where she came from until now. Welcome back to Night Vale, The Faceless Old Woman, available wherever books are sold. This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Did you know that Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit on how much you can earn or how much they'll match? Plus, Discover's accepted at over 95% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when you use your Discover card, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2019 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
When the economy goes haywire and you need a podcast to turn to, Planet Money is here for you.
Are we already in a recession?
There's no question that we are about to enter a period of substantial slowdown in the economy.
Listen to NPR's Planet Money, emergency podcasts whenever the news demands it.
This is Ask Me Another, Play From Home Edition, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and rubbing against a bare wall and pretending it's a person. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yep, this week we're not only viewing our homes as bunkers, but we're using the internet to play games with couples we know who are also stuck at home. So we're online right now with the hosts of the podcast Couples Therapy, Andy Beckerman and Naomi Ekperigin. Okay, so you were saying earlier that, you know, a little healthy competition would be a good thing for your relationship right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Before going into this, knowing that you were playing a couple games, did you guys set up anything like, if you win, you have to clean up around here on day 36?
Andy really could have used that to his advantage. I mean, as of now, you know, he's the one who keeps this place looking decent. He keeps the trains running on time.
So wait, hold on. Now I'm Mussolini?
It was meant to be a compliment.
I feel like this is a strange Rorschach test for our relationship.
Don't embarrass us in front of company.
All right, so we have another game for you. It's called Patently Obvious. We're going to read you an excerpt from an actual U.S. patent for a common object or piece of technology, and you're going to tell us what device or piece of technology we're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right, let me give the first one a shot. Okay, Naomi, this 1866 patent for an improvement in velocipedes describes a machine that consists in the arrangement of two wheels, one directly in front of the other, combined with a mechanism for driving the wheels.
You mean a bicycle?
Bicycle!
Oh, I'm so excited. I got that.
So this patent was 1866. The first bicycle basically was seen in 1700s Paris and was known as the wooden horse.
That's like the intense. Wooden horse. I gotta go hop on my wooden horse.
I'm doing a triathlon on my wooden horse.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, here's yours. This 1998 patent describes a document ranking method that is scalable and can be applied to extremely large databases such as the World Wide Web.
A search engine, like specifically Google, I guess?
Google, yeah, that's right. That's referring to the PageRank algorithm, of course.
Can you guys believe that Google won out to Ask Jeeves?
I mean, Ask Jeeves was much friendlier. It was a much friendlier vibe.
I can tell Jonathan's got butlers because he's got so many guitars on his wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple of butlers. I have a guitar butler. I have a wall butler.
Well, I thought each guitar comes with a butler, right? There's like a different...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've cleaned your level? Jazz master.
I've been talking with him over Zoom, and I've seen one of them come in and just dust them. It's really weird.
Tune it to drop D and get out.
Tune it to drop D. Oh, Lord.
All right, Naomi. This patent from 1983 is for a spatial logical toy built up of a total of 18 toy elements forming a solid. 6 or 9 of those elements can be simultaneously rotated.
I don't know, but I'm just going to say Legos.
Okay. How about rotated? Did that help you? Rotated?
Oh, a Rubik's Cube.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Woo!
Indeed.
Woo!
Supposedly, no matter how messed up a Rubik's Cube is, you can solve it in 20 moves or less.
No.
Which, I know, Jonathan Colton
is very good.
I can solve
it in 2.
Really?
Yeah, you take off all the stickers.
Yeah! That's
and then put them back on in the right way.
So have you, dumb.
I guess that counts as 2 moves.
That's the Kobayashi Maru of Rubik's Cubes.
What
is wrong with
Wow.
reference?
Wait, was that a Star Trek reference?
That was. I've barely seen. Why do I know that reference?
If anybody listening wants to airlift me out of here to their home, I will be at the window. I will be at the north-facing window.
All right, Andy, filed in 1903, this patent is for a simple mechanism for removing snow, rain, and sleet from the glass in front of the motorman.
The motorman.
Yeah.
The glass in front of the motorman.
A D-list Marvel superhero. windshield wipers?
Yeah, that's right. Windshield wipers.
1903, yet no one has figured out how to make the speed right for light rain. You know, it's either like whiplashing or that just screeching sound. Well, guess what?
What?
It's a tie!
Yay!
We're perfectly suited for each other, Naomi.
You're perfectly
suited. We won't get divorced.
Our entire relationship hinged on this.
What a pleasure. Thanks for joining
us.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank
you. Your hilarious selves.
Genuinely an honor.
Brightening our afternoon.
So
have a great rest of your month.
Slash year. Who knows?
Slash year. Slash see you in 2021.
All right, Jonathan, are you ready for our next set of couple testants?
I was born ready, Afira.
From the podcast, Stay F. Homekins. What a title. Beautiful. We have actor Janie Haddad Tompkins and comedian Paul F. Tompkins.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Thank you for having us, which I agree with my wife who said it first.
First of all, as a couple, how is quarantine self-distancing being together all the time going? I notice on your Zoom that you are coming from two different locations, unusual. Other couples have been beside each other, so you guys have figured something out.
What was figured out was there was an audio problem when we were next to each other.
I feel like every time I'm sitting beside my husband, there's an audio problem.
I don't know about you as a married couple, but a lot of marriage is just yelling, can you repeat that from another room?
Or just, I can't hear you.
I can't
the faucet's on. I can't hear you. The blah, blah.
There's a lot of that going on.
Lot.
Well, we were joking around earlier that because everyone is at home, so of course the need for dressing up or any of that normal stuff has kind of gone out the window. It's very easy to impress someone, right? Like just, you know, I showered and my husband was like, you look so pretty. I was like, oh, thanks. Just been a few days.
I am curious how many makeup wearers are going to return to makeup wearing. Because I'm cool with just this. This is what men, like, they don't put it on and go out the house. It's amazing.
I always wear a light pancake no matter what.
I expect nothing
just
less.
Just smooth it out.
I don't know who I'm going to run into.
So to start things off, we would like to do a little something with you called Fact Bag.
What did you call me?
It's an insult I've hurled... I don't know how many times.
She's called me that. Oh, she's called me that so many times. You fact bag.
You're fact nothing bag. More than a big, round fact bag. So usually when we do this at the Bell House on the stage, there is actually a bag that our producers have made, and it's got glitter letters on it. It's very fancy, and within it are facts. So this time it's in a Google Doc.
It's a fact doc.
There's a fact doc? So we don't know the answers to the questions, so we'll just discuss them and see what we think. I just have to mention for 1 second that I ate ants before we started this by accident. There was a bag of kettle corn that I bought, and at the break, I decided to put a handful of it in my mouth, and then I looked where it was sitting, and it was covered in ants, and then I looked at the bag, and the bag was full of ants.
I can't believe you didn't start with this story, Ophir. This is an important piece of information that you just ate ants before we started recording.
As soon as we mentioned fact bag, I then reflected to a recent bag that I had an encounter
ant
with.
Bag.
Ant bag.
Ophir, if you had to put a ballpark figure on it, how many ants would you say you ate?
You know what? They're the teeny tiny ants. I'm gonna say like a few families,
a neighborhood's worth of ants.
Yep. It's good to have your anxiety shifted. You know, that's
I feel like mine has been, but from that story.
Yeah. All right. Here's your fact. Here's your fact.
Sponsored by Kettle Ants.
Okay. In 1965, astronaut John Young smuggled something into space. What was it?
I feel like it's probably some old-fashioned candy that he really liked. Like it's a Zag Nut or like a Necco wafer.
Right. It's definitely like food. It's definitely like food. Oh, Necco wafers. Those are the terrible ones. Those are the ones nobody likes.
They didn't know what
likes.
Candy was like in those days. They didn't have good candy. Or you know, gum that tastes like cloves or something like that.
Tea berry.
I feel like I might accidentally know this.
Really?
Yes.
It's not an accident. That just means you know it.
I've been looking at knowledge all wrong. Did he smuggle souvenirs?
Souvenirs. It's possible. Souvenirs.
There was a guy who smuggled little capsules. That he was going to sell later to say they'd been in space.
Oh, like he brought that stuff up to bring back and then profit from.
I was maybe going to say in 1965, he smuggled LSD.
Ooh. You know what? If you need LSD in space, you are have a problem.
If there's one place you don't want to have a bad trip, it's in space.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out here for a second.
Oh, can you imagine? That would be terrible.
All right. Let's find out. I think it's going to come to me via the magic of chat. Okay. Oh. It's a corned beef sandwich.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
A corned beef sandwich.
That sounds messy.
That's beyond taking your own food into the movies.
So he didn't plan on smuggling the sandwich into space. A fellow astronaut slipped a two-day-old sandwich to him on the day of the launch, and when he took it out, the sandwich immediately started breaking apart. So
I want to know why the guy handed him a two-day-old sandwich. That seems kind of crazy as well.
It sounds like one of those kind of like, ha ha ha, astronaut pranks. Yeah, it was a prank.
As a prank, I love it. I love it. You're about to go into space. Quick, take the sandwich!
But you have to take it. It's not fresh, though. It's like
not fresh.
I guess I'm glad to hear that it's a prank rather than the astronaut thinking, well, they're probably not going to have them there, so I have to bring one.
What if I get hungry?
All right. I think we're going to try another one. McDonald's chicken nuggets come in four shapes. What are they called? And there they are. So they have official names, I guess. One looks like a boot. One looks like a bell. This one kind of looks, can't tell if that's supposed to be a diamond or oval, and then circle. Huh. But I guess they have names.
I'm going to say Florida, Pac-Man, Sauron, the Big Biscuit.
Yeah, Sauron, the Chicken McNugget.
The Big Biscuit looks like a tater tot.
Evenly browned.
I would eat these so hard right now.
they do look comforting.
Looks so good.
Yeah, man. A little barbecue sauce. Ugh. I'll take it. I mean, it could be these are meant to loosely resemble the standard parts of an actual chicken, right?
Oh.
Could be you get a drumstick and a wing, breast and thigh.
Oh, I thought the circle would be the head.
Right. Head, head, neck, stomach, and feet.
Well, one of them looks like a diamond.
Oh. Uh-huh.
They could be
right.
Jewels.
Like, oh,
my wife
good
has expensive
one.
Tastes. She says diamonds everywhere.
All right, let's find out. Okay, here we go. Oh, all right. It's boot, bell, bow tie, and ball.
Ball?
Num, num, num.
Why is that so good?
Why wouldn't it be circle? It's not a sphere.
It's not a sphere.
They are specifically engineered that multiple shapes are meant to appeal to kids and optimize dunking.
Yeah, well, that I see.
Yeah. Mm.
Nothing is more dunkable than a ball.
Well done. Well done. That was Fact Bag. All right. Guess what, Janie, Paul? You're going to play one of our favorite games called This, That, or the Other. We're going to give you the name of a thing. You're going to tell us which of three categories it belongs to. Jonathan Colton, what are our categories?
Today's categories are lion, witch, or wardrobe. So basically, each thing is either a species of big cat, a fictional witch, or an IKEA wardrobe.
Got it.
Janie, this one's for you.
Okay.
Elphaba.
Well, I have to say, just my gut tells me IKEA wardrobe.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Oh, God.
It's the Wicked Witch of the West in Wicked.
But she shops at IKEA.
All right, Paul, here's yours. Jubatus, big cat, witch, or wardrobe?
I think that's a big cat.
Yeah, you are right. It is a big cat. I have no idea how you guessed that, but it is a big cat.
It's a cat who celebrates Passover.
I knew it wasn't an IKEA item because it didn't sound Scandinavian enough.
Uh-huh,
And I felt it was too soon for another witch, so I took a gamble.
Yeah, that's you played the metagame and you won. It's a scientific name for the cheetah, which is very fast, but also doesn't need to drink water except for every 3 to 4 days. Because here's the thing, they get their hydration from the blood of their prey.
Oh.
That's like me with wine.
Yeah, exactly. Janie.
Yes.
Tissadol.
I don't know. I'm going to go with cat.
Probably. But what I also know is that it is the name of an IKEA wardrobe.
It is?
Its doors are fully mirrored, and each of its shelves holds about 15 pairs of folded pants.
Whoa.
You need one right now because you're not putting on pants, so you need them all folded somewhere. That's
yeah,
a good
and
idea.
You need the mirror to remind yourself that things are going south fast.
Paul, this one's for you.
All right.
Songasand.
I mean, IKEA is calling to me, but I'm going to say which.
I'm sorry, it is an IKEA wardrobe.
I know. Like...
Janie knew it.
Well, you did the an accent and everything.
I did. It was at the, it was the other A sound
he knew
at
it.
The end.
I thought it might have been the accent of the land where the witch came from.
Janie.
Yes.
Manuel.
It's got to be a cat.
Sure is a cat. It's the Palaz cat, a small wild cat with a comically puffy coat of hair. Its full scientific name translates to ugly-eared wild cat.
Shit.
Interesting.
This cat can't catch a break.
Cruel. Scientists can be very cruel.
Yeah, but he has a cute puff of hair, and they didn't even include that in the name.
All right, Paul, here's yours.
All right.
Broomhilda.
Oh, come on. This is a witch all the way. Who didn't love this cartoon strip if they had it in their local newspaper? Broomhilda. She was a comical witch who was just trying to live her life.
Yeah, she was looking for love, right? In all the wrong cauldrons.
She was like Kathy, but a witch.
It was not like a sort of workplace strip like The Wizard of Id.
The first workplace comedy.
That's right, The Wizard of Id.
Okay. Great job, Paul. You won the first game.
Congratulations.
That sounds hollow.
I do feel Broomhilda was a bit of a softball, but I'm not going to.
After the break, we're going to play another game with Paul F. Tompkins and Janie Haddad Tompkins. Plus, we'll call up Will and Grace's Deborah Messing and find out how her social distancing is going. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time, free of charge. Visit betterhelp.com/ask to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Right now, every household in the country is being asked to fill out the U.S. Census. It's the form that helps us determine how voting districts are redrawn, where to build public schools and hospitals, how to spend federal money. So why are some people afraid to fill it out? We're getting into all that this week on NPR's Code Switch podcast.
This is Ask Me Another Play From Home Edition. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. So this week we're playing some games with couples stuck at home with each other. We have comedian Paul F. Tompkins and actor Janie Haddad Tompkins with us. Sorry, I just got a note saying that my internet connection is unstable. Has it been unstable?
I've gotten that too.
I've gotten that a couple times in this conversation, but I've just been trying to
We're just powering through
Zoom
it.
Zoom is just being dramatic.
I mean, right now, what isn't unstable?
Yeah.
We have a music parody game for you called Love is a Four-Letter Word. We took well-known songs with the word love in the title and rewrote them to be about other four-letter words that start with the letter L.
So I'm going to sing a little while, and when I stop singing, you're going to jump in and sing the song's title, but replace the word love with the other four-letter word that I'm hinting at in the clues.
Mm.
All right, Paul, this one's for you. This is Robert Palmer. Whoa, you can pretend the Star Wars poster was a fluke. Oh, yeah. I've seen your action figures. You're a Skywalker kook. You know you're gonna have to face it.
You're addicted to Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
I was always more of a Han girl.
Who was really a Luke, a Luke fan? He was...
Well, it's just the burden of the entire story rests on his shoulders, but okay.
You know.
Chewbacca's right, kind Janie. Of a hunk. Yeah.
Who, sorry.
What?
Chewy.
Ah, you're a Wookiee girl. Wookiee girl.
Discovering a lot of things. A lot of things are coming up in this quarantine.
Yeah. All right, Janie, this one's for you.
Okay.
A crochet hook will help me sew this thing. It's a doily made with silky white string, my mama said.
You can't hurry loom.
Oh, wow. Ooh. That is a fine guess. That's not exactly what we're looking for. We were looking for lace.
But we'll take
it. I'm
totally
going to accept loom.
Yeah, we got to take loom. Have you ever loomed, Janie?
I'm planning to take it up during quarantine. That's probably why it was top of mind.
We've had this spinning wheel in our home forever, and Janie always wants to try it. And I say, what if you go to sleep for years and years and years? Your car is in front of mine in the driveway.
All right, Paul, this is a song sung by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie.
My ear, my right ear, big earrings have stretched it long. Oh, yes, it will always be
my endless lobe.
Yeah, you got it.
Those are the worst. Those are the worst. I'm sorry. I'm all into self-expression. But when the gauges come out of the lobes and they just hang there.
Very dangerous. I mean, like, sometimes I wear a cardigan and it gets stuck on handles and doorknobs.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, I just.
It's the same thing, except it's your earlobe.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That is so horrible. Hello.
All right, this is the last one. Janie, this is for you. Okay. This is a Foreigner song.
Okay.
In my pen, don't need more than a pat. Is it Crisco? No, but it's a white solid fat. I can't explain, because I just don't know how they render fatty pork.
I want to know what lard is.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
I want
right.
you to show me.
That's what I would say.
I want to feel what lard is.
Oh, somebody got less shy about
Hit
singing.
I just decided to commit, because that's all you can really do.
That's yep. Exactly right.
And it's a tie. I just want to let you know that it's a tie.
Honey, we belong together.
Thank you so much for agreeing to take some time out of your busy schedule to come join us and play some games. Take your mind off stuff. I don't know. You probably have plenty of things to do, but it's nice. It's nice.
Janie said this the other day as we were snacking in front of the television. Janie said, well, these pounds aren't going to gain themselves.
That's right.
That seemed private at the time, but who cares?
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Janie, for joining us. Such a delight.
Thank you.
Kira, Jonathan, thank you. It's great to talk to you guys.
It's been fun, and thanks for joining our quarantine.
Yeah, pleasure. Pleasure.
Anytime.
We have an amazing special guest. She was, of course, supposed to join us at the Bell House in Brooklyn for a live show, and then everything changed. But luckily, she was into it joining us now from her home or a secret location. I don't know. It's possible. You know her as Grace Adler from Will and Grace. Deborah Messing, hello.
Hello.
I said secret location or your house.
Both. Both would be true.
And so you have been in shelter in place or whatever we're calling it for a couple
yes.
weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been intense, and you know, no one has been prepared for this.
No.
And I think the hardest thing is just not knowing when it's going to end and not being able to reassure your children, you know, about when it will end. And so, I mean, if there has ever been like a test for being Zen, I think this is probably it.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to stay sane?
Baking.
Yeah.
Which if you knew me, that would basically tell you that hell has frozen over. Yep. I downloaded a lifetime membership to Babbel to learn Spanish fluently.
Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, yes. You're going to expand yourself.
Oh, I'm just downloading things. I haven't done any of it yet.
So I'm going to I would love to talk to you about your life.
Sure.
So I love learning about people's first jobs. And I read that you were a coat jack person for Sotheby's, the art auction house.
Yes.
And were fired.
I was. The very first day that I worked, I was fired.
The first day?
The first day.
Wow.
Yes. I signed up for a catering company, and they sent me to Sotheby's, and they said, okay, you know, you're very, you know, amicable and charming. And so really all you have to do is take their fur coats and their briefcases and hold on to them and then give them back. And I was like, this is perfect. So I was having a lovely night. And then at the end of the night, I realized I didn't really understand the number system.
Oh no.
So I said, which one's yours? Just point to the mink coat that's yours. And I just started handing out mink coats and briefcases. So, so they fired me.
I would just like to mention that, you are lying on a white pillow that looks like a bed as we are talking.
I'm absolutely on a bed.
You're doing it right, Deborah. That's exactly. We should all be in our beds.
It's my favorite place. It's my favorite place in the world.
So, of course, we know you from Will and Grace as the great Grace Adler. The series ran from 1998 to 2006. 11 years pass.
Yes.
And there is this idea that you're going to do a reboot.
There was no discussion of a reboot when we first, when the email first went out to us.
Okay, what was it?
It was a one-time thing for the election to help Hillary Clinton. We got an email from Max Muchnick. And so he sent out this email and he said, I know you guys are, you know, all over the world. You have your lives. But would you consider coming back to do one video, 7 minutes long, that we would put on YouTube? And it would basically be Grace and Will, Democrats. And of course, Karen is a Republican. And then Jack would be a disaffected, you know, a voter who doesn't think his vote counts.
Right.
And then we shot it.
Yeah.
And then we all cried and said, this was such a gift. It's amazing. You know, this is it. We had one more day of Will and Grace. And within a week, YouTube had 7.5 million views.
Wow.
So you're like, huh.
No, I didn't.
No. You're like, I got to get back to bed immediately.
Like, see ya.
The president of the network went, huh.
Right. So one of the final episodes of Will and Grace will be a special I Love Lucy themed episode. And Lucille Ball is one of your heroes. I mean, it makes perfect sense. The hero.
The hero for me. Yes.
So now I imagine in the I Love Lucy themed episode that you portray Lucy.
I portray Lucy in two of the scenes. I play Fred in one scene.
Awesome.
And I play Ethel in another scene. You did not expect that.
I love that. So for the scene when you are portraying Lucy, did you watch it again? Like her... study it?
I mean, we replicated every second of the scenes that were chosen. They were iconic scenes. So I did the Vitamita Vegemin. scene.
The best.
Oh, nice.
And then I Sean and I did the chocolate factory one where he was Lucy, I was Ethel.
Yeah. All right, Deborah Messing, based on that, we have a very fun quiz for you.
It's okay.
A multiple choice quiz about okay. Lucille Ball.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
All right. Here's your first one. Lucille Ball's unofficial nickname was Queen of the Bees. Why? Was it A, because she starred in the 1940s in a string of second-tier films known as B-movies? B, her side hustle was as the CEO of a free-range honey company called I Love Loose Bees? Or C, because her bust was not so big, but not so small?
It is A.
It is A. That's right. Some of the titles are amazing, like DuBarry Was a Lady and A Girl, A Guy, and A Gob. They sound insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz formed an independent studio called Desi Lou Productions. When yep. Gene Roddenberry pitched her the idea for Star Trek, she greenlit the original pilot, but allegedly she misunderstood the concept of the show and thought that Star Trek was about A, traveling USO entertainers during World War II, B, hiking with celebrities, or C, Russian cosmonauts who fall in love on a spacewalk?
I'm going to guess C.
Russian cosmonauts who fall in love on a spacewalk.
Yeah.
That is incorrect. It is actually A.
It is A.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
That was my first guess. But then I was like, no, there has to be some space element. That's amazing. So I want to know, like, that moment when they were like, honey, no, there's no singing.
Yeah, right. I would love to know how that conversation went to leave her with that misapprehension. It's a very strange.
And also to be like, do you still want to produce it?
Right.
Yeah, right. It's actually a very different show from the one you agreed
right?
to.
Right.
Like, how long were they into it before she right. was like, what? It's not?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no. No, no, we've produced everything. We spent all your money.
Okay, this is your last clue. In 2016, in Lucille Ball's hometown, a statue of her was replaced with a different statue of her after locals protested it on Facebook. Why? A, it depicted Lucy as a brunette and not as a redhead. B, it was dubbed Scary Lucy for its uncanny lack of likeness to the real Lucy. Or C, it kept tipping over due to shoddy workmanship.
C.
That is a fine guess. It was actually B. They didn't really nail it, and so they ended up with a kind of weird...
They called it Scary Lucy?
Yeah. Scary Lucy.
The New York Times described the statue as a grimacing, glaring Hulk that would be unrecognizable were it not for a bottle of Vitamita Vegemin in her hand.
Oh my God, that's awful!
And the sculptor Dave Poulin said in a letter to the Hollywood Reporter that he considered the original Lucy to be by far his most unsettling sculpture.
So he didn't even stand by it.
No, he was I didn't get this one right. I did a bad job with this. And they actually left...
with Lucille Ball.
Right, with Lucille Ball.
Of all people, of course.
And they left the Scary Lucy, they left the bad one in the park. It's about 75 yards down the path from the new Lucy.
Wow.
So you can go and compare the two.
Okay.
I mean, but talk about, like, you know, we paid for that. We're going to keep it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll just have the right one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, Deborah. Thank you.
This was a ball.
That's our show. But before we go, let's check the Ask Me Another voicemail because more of you called in to tell us how social distancing has changed your behavior. And here's what you said.
Hey, Jonathan. Hi, Ophira.
Hi, this is Lauren House from Round Rock, Texas.
Hi, this is Sherry Rosen, New York City.
Hi, I'm Abhijit Madhukumar, and I'm calling in from Austin, Texas.
Hello, my name is Susie. I am calling from Westchester.
Hi, this is Jennifer King calling from Plattsburgh, New York. The most out of character thing I've done during the COVID quarantine craziness is wash my door handles.
What I've been doing during my isolation period is learning how to twerk.
I made banana peel bacon today.
The most out-of-character thing that I've done is open a window in my apartment.
I gave a friend these gorgeous earrings to keep, and I recently realized that it was a big lie. I wanted them back.
I have now learned that birds are very loud.
Cleaning my doorknobs is oddly satisfying. Hope everyone else is staying as safe as they possibly can.
So this week, we'd love for you to call in and tell us the most shameful thing you've eaten since social distancing began. For example, I recently dipped a celery stick into chocolate icing.
And I ate a bowl of ramen noodles with a melted slice of American cheese on top.
Delicious.
It's actually pretty good.
Give the Ask Me Another hotline a call at 848-999-4932. That's 848-999-4932. And to help you remember, that spells 8-IT-XXXI-WEB. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening and for all of the lovely notes you've been sending us. I can't tell you how much that means to us. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Camilla Franklin, Carol Lee, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts and Emily Winter. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Sachow, James Sparber, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Nick Garrison. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We'd like to thank our production partner, WNYC, and we can't wait to get back to our home, the Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Next time on Ask Me Another, we're joined by podcast royalty, stand-up comedian, and host of WTF with Marc Maron, Marc Maron. He gives us a scoop on his latest Netflix special, End Times Fun, and updates us on how his cats are doing. So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.